Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
We are in a series called A Loss in Translation, right? We are focusing on words that may have gotten lost in translation over the years. What we are not saying is that we believe the Bible is mistranslated. What we are saying is that sometimes a long line of telephone, words can get missed, and the fullness of what God intended those words to mean can be somewhat died down. And so we're wanting to dig deeper into Scripture to have a fuller, more robust understanding of what God is calling the church to. And as we are following the way of Jesus, this is what we are desiring, for us to be deeply formed by the Bible. And that means sometimes talking about maybe more difficult words that come up in Scripture. So today, the word we are talking about is mishpat, which could be translated for the word justice, right? And I also already want to acknowledge, justice is a heavy word, right? Because we see a lot of injustice happening in our city specifically and across the world in general, but it is quite acute in Chicago right now. So I just want to acknowledge that and let you know that we see that and we know that. But today we're going to be digging more as to what would it look like for justice, this word mishpat. What does Jesus and the Scripture and the biblical authors say about what justice is and what it's not? Right? Like, what does this mean for mishpat to happen? And so mishpat, there is a really deep, deep meaning in Scripture. And when we look at the context of Scripture, right, it's translated multiple different ways. We could say uphold the cause. We could say something to be made right, for dues to be given, right? These are all, when we look at justice, we also can see it be done in retributive, right? Meaning giving punishments. But in Scripture, 9 out of 10 times, it's often restorative. It's often distributive justice. It's reallocating resources or repairing a relationship. So when we're looking at mishpat or justice in Scripture, it often is in the lens of how can we make it right? How can we lift up someone? How can we make things right? And it's so much deeper than just that court image, right, gravel down, like we won. That is not what the justice of the Bible is talking about often. It's talking about how can we make things of equal relationship? How can we uplift people or groups of people that maybe have always been on the margin? So the psalm that we read this morning, it doesn't even say the word justice, right? Because the word upholds the cause would be translated as mishpat. So if we went back, we could see already from the beginning that, oh, it's not always justice in the sense of we see it as, but it's actually this action word, right? This idea that a directive, something that we do in response to a group of people. And that is what mishpat, justice, is directing us towards. It's this action, it's this directive of what we can do to create justice. And mishpat is never, ever alone. It's not just justice right there. Like, oh, do justice. So many questions, right? How do we do justice? Who's it to? What does it mean? What does it look like? And it's often butted up with this word, righteousness, or tzedakah in Hebrew. Righteousness here is not like the puff shoulder and like, oh, I'm like the best person, I'm always right. Righteousness here is actually being in right, equitable relationships with someone else. That's what this word righteousness, when we think about Scripture. The Lord is righteous, right? We hear that a lot. The Lord is in right relationship with us. So when we see those words together, we see in Job, right? In verse 29, I put on righteousness, tzedakah, as my clothing. Justice, mishpat, was my robe and turban. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame. I was father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from his teeth. So if we're looking at this section of Scripture where we see mishpat and tzedakah right next to each other, Tezakah is how I am standing in relationship to someone, the clothing, and mishpat is the action of how I continue to be in right standing relationship and to one another, the robe and turban, right? Like the clothing, and then we put on justice, right? It's an action of being in right relationship, because we cannot do justice if we're not in right relationship with someone else. And those words together would be the words that we see today as social justice. So in Jeremiah, we see them, justice and righteousness together. And if we were to switch out justice and righteousness for social justice, I want you guys to hear what this, what these verses are saying to us today. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, social justice on earth for those I delight in. Isn't that such a powerful vision of what the Lord is asking of us, right? Social justice on earth, declares the Lord. So when Mishpat and Tezakah come together in scripture, it's this powerful image of where the needs and the values of those around us are upheld and are valued as part of our society. That as the image bearers of God, we are valuable and are supposed to be in right relationships with each other and ourselves and God. It's a really more broad image than just this court or this lawyer-esque idea of what justice is, right? And when we look at scripture, right, in our GC, we often ask the phrase, like, what are repeating phrases you see? And in both of these scripture contexts, we can see some repeating phrases, right? We see this these people groups that are being called out, that are being referenced time and time again. And so the Mishpat Tezakah, who it's towards, is often the hardest part, because we can understand what justice means and why it's a good thing and the call to it. But social justice in the biblical author's point of view and what we are called to is not a cause we find. We don't just go find a cause. But it's part of our lives that we are continually acting on every day. It's a daily part of our lives to help Mishpat, for to be in right relationship, to Tezakah with someone else, right? It's a part of our lives. And when we look at scripture, we find that Mishpat is most often directed towards a specific group of people. And it's what theologians call the quartet of the vulnerable. It's widows, it's orphans, it's immigrant, and it's the poor. So 9 out of 10 times, these are the people groups we are going to see in the previous or below verses that talk about Mishpat or Tezakah. These groups in the biblical times and currently are the ones most impacted by injustices. These are the ones most taken advantage of. They are the most affected when we are not in right relationships, when societies are unjust. Those groups on the margins, the widows, the poor, the immigrants, right? Orphans, those are the ones that feel the brunt of the injustices. Timothy Keller would go as far as to say single mothers, refugees, migrant workers, the homelessness, even elderly people are the ones on the margins that are going to feel when injustices are happening, when Mishpat is not happening, when Tezakah is not the end game, right? It's not what we're seeing every day. So when we look at the verse that William read, right, we can see instantly, right? If we think of that upholding the cause, what cause is the Lord wanting to uphold? Well, let's look. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He's not saying the people that are in power. He's saying the people that are not in power that he wants to uphold the cause of. He gives food to the hungry. He wants the people that are hungry to receive food. The Lord sets the prisoners free, the ones that are wronged. The Lord gives sight to the blind, those that are crippled and they can't see. He's wanting to give them sight. The Lord lifts up those that are bowed down, right? And in the biblical author's time, a lot of people were begging for money because that's how they did it. So they were bowed down. They were on the floor, right? He wants to lift them up. The Lord loves the righteousness. Righteousness, again, means tzedakah. And he loves when people are in right relationships with each other. The Lord watches over the foreigner, right? I'm sure you guys can think of a ton of biblical stories about the foreigner, right? I think of Ruth, I think of Esther, right? These women that were lower than, that were on the margins. But God's like, I watch over them. And we see in those stories how God watches over them. He sustains the fatherless, right? Those without fathers had very little in this society. They did not own land. They did not have money. They could not do much. But he says, I sustain them and the widow. And then he says, I frustrate the way of the wicked. The wicked, the ones that are taking advantage of these people groups, will not stand in the kingdom of God. And in Zechariah, we see, this is what the Lord of Heaven Army says. Judge fairly, show mercy and kindness to one another. Do not oppress widows, orphans, foreigners, and the poor. And do not scheme against each other. To us, we should see these groups repeated after one, after the other, after that. Like, oh, wow, this is really important to God. So in turn, this should be really important to us, that these people groups who are image bearers of God, that they have innate value to them because God created them, should matter to us. We should be reading this and say, those people groups are still impacted by injustices today. This is not a thing that's happened in the past. It's a thing that's happening right now. In our day and age. And these are the groups in most need of the God of the Bible's mishpat, right? And we as followers of the Lord who subscribe to Jesus, that want to be deeply formed into the way and practice the way of Jesus, these people groups should matter to us as well. A few weeks ago, we had a really amazing partner. We've been partnering with Novi. Steve came up and talked a lot about the injustices and ways to cause justice. And so he referenced this book by Timothy Keller called Generous Justice. It talks all about how scripture talks about God in our day, about causing and making justice happen. And he says this in that book, the mishpat, or justness of a society, according to the Bible, is evaluated by how it treats these groups. Any neglect shown to the needs of the members of this quartet is not merely a lack of mercy or charity, but a violation of justice, or mishpat. God loves and defends those with the least economic and social power. And so should we. This is what it means to do justice. When we see a lack of mishpat, we should be compelled to step in, because as people of the Lord, as people who follow the way of Jesus, that is the ask, right? That we are a directive, that we are stepping in to help with justice, to help uphold the cause of those that cannot uphold it themselves. When we see impoverished or hurting parts of society that we are thriving in, we should see that there is something deeply wrong, and that should be to us a call that we can do something, that we are empowered by the Spirit and Holy Spirit to be able to cause things to be better because the Lord Almighty is with us. Seeking justice isn't just about going into a cause, but it's about sacrificing for the sake of the other. And sometimes that's really hard, right? Because that would mean that the leveling out would be very difficult. And This restorative type of justice is about lifting up those on the margins. It's recognizing that Jesus talks about these groups. It's about determining if a society is just. Are the poor, the orphans, the immigrants, the orphans, are they taken care of in our society? This should initially be the litmus test for us to see how our society is doing. We should be able to recognize the success of our area based on if these are taken care of. And that's a really hard thing to be confronted with. And I think the beauty of it is that this isn't a new thing. The scripture are filled with people groups wanting to uphold these causes because it's a thing. Society, it is just showing us, right, the misses, the gaps. And we as the church have an opportunity to be like, that is a miss and we want it to get better. That is not working. We would like to see it get better. We want to cause mishpat for the people of our society, right? The biblical authors have a call for us to seek justice, to seek mishpat, to encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, and to plead the case of the widow. And this is in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Are our lives intertwined with those on the margins? Are we affected by those who have seen injustice? The Lord dined, lived, fellowshipped with those on the margins. He never shied away from people that were struggling, right? He saw them and looked them in their eyes and said, you are good. You are healed. You are part of this beautiful community of people who I want to uplift. It's hard because in a society, we value upward mobility, right? This socioeconomic growth that we are really, really encouraged to get. And we often want to keep that status. We often want to keep that section of our lives in this upward mobility trend. We want to stay in the comfortable that we've created. We've worked really, really hard for it. But we can also acknowledge that might not be the vision of mishpat that the Lord is asking of us, right? Because if our community of following Jesus, those on the margins that are not taken care of, our society is not doing the best it could. When we are in deep relationships with others, our lives should be affected. We should not be able to ignore it. It's painful. It's hard. The idea of maybe a group of us choosing a school that maybe isn't the best performing because we want to see it better. Maybe that's a group of us that are wanting to live in an area of town that maybe is struggling, but we're wanting to see that area of the city better. And so we are deciding as a group that we are going to put roots here. We are going to help. We are going to be present. And it's going to be hard. But these are the things that Jesus followers have done for centuries, right? Like this is what they're doing, right? It's really hard, this ask. I was talking to my husband last night about like if I should share this part of my story, but I think it's really important to know, and I feel like I have talked about this a lot in my community and the hardness of rubbing shoulders with friends that are in the margins. I moved here about 8 years ago, and my intention of moving here was because I really wanted to work. I'm a teacher. I've taught for 10 years. I wanted to make people's lives better. And when I was very young, I realized that I can't house 50 kids in my home, but I can teach 50 kids. And so I decided early on that I wanted to be a teacher, that this was going to be something that I was going to commit my life to doing. And when I moved to Chicago, I moved here because I was like, the inner city is close. And I got a job working in East Garfield Park. We often do partnerships with Breakthrough. My school is right down the street. My school was 100% low income, beautiful, beautiful black children, right? I had never seen so much injustice, right? But I knew this call. I knew that we can't just all leave. We have to stay. We have to make it better. And so I committed. I committed 7 years of my life to being in these schools. And guys, it's hard, right? It's really hard. I'm not going to say to you that this call from the Lord is easy, right? And I think the beautiful thing is I did not do it alone. I remember asking for prayers about like lost fathers, right? Gun violence was a real thing in my community that I was teaching in. These things didn't just go away because I was teaching there. But I can say that these kids can read. I can say that the difference that I was being made was not going to undo years of social injustices and things that are not fair. They're not aligned. They're not mishpat, right? The school I was in, the community I was in, you could see the havoc that's on it. But I can say that working with these kids made my life immensely better. I do not regret a single cry, a single missed sleep. Some years I was deeply unwell, right? Like it wasn't easy, but I look back and realize that call of inputting my life and being deeply formed by them was worth it. Because when our lives are intertwined with these people groups, your lives will never be the same. My life is never going to be the same. And so this call of causing mishpat, of intertwining your lives with those on the margins, it's a beautiful and it's hard, but you will not regret it. Like I can say that wholeheartedly. Because those students that I had, they are valuable to God. They are made in the image of God, and just because of that, they matter. That they should be allowed to experience the fullness of a just society, of a mishpat society, of being in right relationship, tezakah, right? Tim Keller also says this in his book. We do justice when we give all human beings their due creations of God. Doing justice includes not only the righting the wrongs, but generosity and social concerns, especially towards the poor and the vulnerable. This kind of life reflects the character of God. It consists of a broad range of activities, from simply fair and honest dealings with people in daily life to regular, radical, generous giving of your time and resources, to activism that seeks to end particular forms of injustice, violence, and oppression. Mishpat deeply mattered to Jesus, and it should matter to us. And we should really feel the weight of the call because people matter to God. Injustice matters to God. And God is desiring heaven to be here for justice, for mishpat to be felt, to uphold the cause of those of the oppressed. It's hard to be touched and changed by people that have faced injustice. But I can't imagine without it. And I pray today that we have a better understanding of what mishpat means and in scripture and how to live it out in a God-centered way. Following Jesus, following the way of Jesus and what scripture says is so difficult, but it's so fulfilling. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And I can say that. I've had a child, he's amazing, but I can say that serving these kids was the best part of my life. And it will be. I eventually hope to be back in this classroom one day, serving these kids for the rest of my life. But it's worth it. It's so worth it when we desire to show justice, to be mishpat to a community, because we can, because we're all made in the image of God and we all have that in us. So with that, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, mishpat, justice. God, I pray that our hearts are open to the ways in which that you are calling us to, God, to be the initial mishpat to those around us. To first, tezakah, to be in a right relationship with those around us, but also for the justice that you seek. For us to love showing mishpat, for us to be ingrained in us of who we are, God. That we feel called today, Lord. to begin the steps towards what would it look like to live in Mishpat with those around us. We love you, Lord, and will you continue to be with us today? Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.